the book of Daniel with me, Daniel chapter 9. As I said, I was just reading this and I was blessed by it, and I thought the brethren will be blessed by it too. And it's been 10 years. We have looked at this before, but it's been 10 years. And you read with me this prayer by Daniel, and I'm sure you noticed how different it is from what goes by the name of prayer today. Daniel does not ask for one thing. Not one material thing. He does not ask for health. He does not ask for one single material thing. All he asks for is mercy, pardon, and that the Lord would shine upon His tabernacle. Because that's the one thing needful. And I hear that, this same prayer, by God's people all the time. God's people, mind you. You don't hear it out in the world, but I hear God's people, when they pray, they always ask for mercy. All right, let's look at it. Daniel, as you may have noticed, was reading the book of Jeremiah. He said he was reading, he understood by books, reading the book of Jeremiah, and that set him to praying, as it should us. When we begin to read God's Word, that's how we do things. We read, and then we pray. We read, then we pray. Sometimes we pray, and then we read. That's how we do it. In verse 3, he said, "And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." I set my face unto the Lord to seek Him. David said, "When thou saidest, seek ye my face, I said, by the grace of God, thy face will I seek." God's people seek His face and they pray unto the Lord. That's who David or Daniel is praying unto, the Lord, not to be seen or heard by men. Verse 4, "I prayed unto the Lord, my God." I prayed to Him. And he said this. Here's what he did. "I made my confession." Down at verse 21, look down there. Verse 20. He said, "While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people." Daniel was a fine man, a righteous man. We're going to see something in a minute. But he confessed his sin. He knew he was a sinner. And he confessed his sin. He didn't name his sins. We're not to do that. Here's a lesson in prayer. When we're praying, men, when we're praying publicly, or ladies, if you lead someone in prayer at home or whatever, don't openly name your sins or confess. Don't be talking about yourself. You're praying for others. But nevertheless, we confess our sins and plead to the Lord on behalf of our brethren. He said, "I made my confession." And in verse 4, he said, "O Lord, O Lord, the great and dreadful God." It struck me, like down in verse 19, where he says, "O Lord, O Lord, O Lord," three times. It struck me how that this man is crying out from his heart to the Lord for God's great name's sake and for His mercy. And he's saying, "O Lord." And he says, "O my God." And how many times do you hear that today when it's just in utter blasphemy? And God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Our Lord said that. And it's proof to me that God is taking his hand off from this nation. And yet there are still some who cry out, "O Lord." And it's not an oath, but it's their heart's cry. There's still some who cry out from the heart, pleading to God, praying unto the Lord, "O my God." There aren't many, but the chosen few, do that, just that. David, or forgive me if I call him David. Daniel said, "Oh my Lord, oh Lord," look at verse 4, his description, how he refers to the living and true God, the great and dreadful God. This is the living and true God. This is the God of the Bible, the great and dreadful God. And He's the one who keeps the covenant. Aren't you glad? Keeping the covenant. What covenant? His covenant. His eternal covenant. We're not going to look at it Sunday. We're not going to look at Galatians 3 Sunday. And Donnie didn't do it, did he? Well, I'm glad. I get to finish it. Talks about that covenant. And that eternal covenant in Christ. Well, God keeps that covenant. Whatever agreement or covenant He makes concerning His people, He'll keep it. He keeps it. And mercy. Once God has mercy, He keeps having mercy. Aren't you glad? It endures forever. Read on. To them that love Him. To them that love Him. All things work together for good to them that love God. Well, why do they love God? Because they're the called according to His purpose. Because He first loved them. And He keeps that covenant and mercy to them that love Him. And to them that keep His commandments. Now, we've looked at that before, how that mostly is talking about how we lay hold of His Word and hold fast to it. Nobody can say that we've kept His commandments perfectly, can we? We endeavor to do so, but we don't. But we do lay hold of and do not want to let go of His Word. No, that's what that means, to hold fast His Word. He that is of God heareth God's Word and lays hold of these blessed promises and said, I will not let them go until I'm blessed. That's what that means. Verse 5, he says, we have sinned. We have sinned. The Lord will answer the prayer of all sinners who confess unto Him their sins. Yes, He will. All sinners who confess their sins and sue for mercy. That's an old Puritan term, or old term men used to use, meaning they would beg and plead and use God's Word. Like in a courtroom, you're suing, so you use court language and you sue for mercy. And the way you do that is says, Lord, You said You'd have mercy. This is how Daniel keeps saying it, isn't it? We don't talk about Daniel much. That's why I'm saying David. But this is why Daniel keeps pleading God's Word. He said, remember what You did, how You brought us out of Egypt and so forth. And he sues for mercy. God will hear the prayer of all who confess their sin to Him, because He's the only high priest, and sue for mercy. And Daniel is interceding for his people. The Lord will hear the prayers of those who pray for others. Our Lord told us to pray after this manner. After this manner, pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Right? So the Lord will answer the prayer of those who intercede for the brethren. And that's all Christ, mostly what Christ prayed, wasn't it? Is for on behalf of His people. And God always heard His prayer, our intercessor. Now, notice the source of sin and the root of our problems. He keeps saying that. In verse 5, he says, we have rebelled by departing from Thy precepts and Thy judgment. That's the source of our sin and the root of all our problems. We depart from God's Word. And we haven't listened, verse 6, neither have we hearkened unto Thy servants the prophet. All our problems stem from this, Brother Stan. We have forgotten what God has said. We haven't listened. We're dull of hearing most of the time. All of us, me included. Daniel is confessing this. He says we, doesn't it? Daniel's well-versed in Scripture. Daniel is a godly man. Yet, Daniel says, we have not hearkened like as we should. We haven't listened. And that's the source of our problem. In verse 7, he says, "O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces." Righteousness. Now turn with me to Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, back just a few, not too far, a couple of dozen pages. Ezekiel 14. I ran across this in reading recently. I've never really noticed it. Daniel says, righteousness belongeth to thee, but unto us confusion of faces. Well, you know, the Lord calls Daniel a righteous man. And he calls all of his people righteous. Well, here's how you know a righteous man or woman. Generally, they will not speak of their righteousness. Though they are, they won't talk about it. David, and I got the right name this time, David said in Psalm 71, "I'll make mention of thy righteousness and thine only." David kept saying, "Deliver me in thy righteousness," didn't he? And yet David was righteous by faith in Christ. Look at Ezekiel 14, and the Lord says this four times in this chapter. Ezekiel 14, verse 14. And he's, through Ezekiel, he's pronouncing judgment upon the land. He says in verse 14, "Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in that land, though they were there, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God." And he says this four times. We'll not read them all. Verse 16, "Though these three men," verse 18, these three men were in it. And down in verse 20, "Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in the land, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own soul by their righteousness." Have you ever read that? You probably have, but like me, you just didn't notice it. Four times. Now you know, not for our righteousness' sake. No man is saved for his righteousness, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to thy what? Mercy, he has saved us. But Noah and Daniel and Job are mentioned four times individually as being righteous men. And they will be delivered because of this righteousness they have. How does anybody get this righteousness? It's imputed to them. It's charged to them. It's reckoned to them. They're covered with it. And it's imparted to them in this new birth. And I argued, well, I didn't argue, I just faced him down, one of these reform fellows, at a conference one time, and he wanted to talk too much about imparted righteousness, although I believe this is just the new birth is all it is. But he wanted to talk too much about it, as if it's something that we produced. And I faced him down at the end of that service. I said, imputed or imparted, it still comes from him. And we get no credit. We had nothing to do with it. And he, I said, "I what?" You made it sound like we did. So, and the Lord is not, confusion belongs to us, you see. If there's any confusion, it's in our minds and understanding. God's Word is not contradictory. But what the Lord is saying here is these men were saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord deals with people individually. They can't save their sons, their daughters, or anybody. They're going to be dealt with by the Lord God in Christ, if they're in Christ. Though these three men were there, great men, mighty men, righteous men, godly men, they can't deliver anybody. They've got to face the Lord Himself and be found in Christ. And so it is with us. Individual. God delivers, or God deals with us individually. All right, go back to Daniel chapter 9. And he says, so Daniel says, righteousness belongs unto thee, but confusion of face unto us. And all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, because of their trespass, they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, verse 8, to us belong the confusion of face. To our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. You know, Daniel is praying for his nation. And that's a good thing. Paul the Apostle said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Over in chapter 11, he says, all Israel will be saved. But they're not all Israel, which are of Israel. But Paul is actually praying for his nation. And Daniel is too. That's a good thing. We have to live here. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord would pour out a revival on this nation? Huh? I've received a few encouraging letters from this sermon audio thing. My wife read one that I copied. But anyway, somebody is listening. Quite a few people are listening. But wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord would shut down some of these idol houses and shut the mouths of some of these false prophets and teach some of them the truth and so forth. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I couldn't help but think of the United States of America. This confusion of face. There's nothing but confusion. Our princes, our fathers, all of them, we've sinned against the Lord. You know if this nation would actually, literally turn to the Lord? If people would confess. You don't hear people confessing their sin and suing for mercy, do you? Huh? Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 59 said, none calleth for truth, none pleadeth for justice. Judgment is turned way backward. Truth is fallen astray. Equity cannot enter, didn't it? And that was 100 years before this. But if people would turn to the Lord, there's only one thing that's going to turn, this gospel. The Lord would have mercy upon them. Wouldn't it be wonderful? And today I couldn't help but think of our country and our nation. If God doesn't have mercy, if God doesn't restrain this nation, folks, it's going to be hard on our children and our children's children. It's going to get worse and worse. So we need to pray for it. Verse 9, O Lord, our God, belong to our Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness. It's God, mercy is sovereign mercy. It belongs to God. It belongs to God. Every sinner who cries for mercy and receives mercy knows it was God's to give or withhold. Mercy by definition is sovereign, isn't it? Mercy means not getting what you deserve. Well, if you don't get what you deserve, somebody has mercy on you, that means they decided. You can't decide for someone to have mercy on you. Mercy, by definition, is sovereign. And so he says mercies and forgiveness belong to God, though we have rebelled against Him. Verse 10, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His law. That's the whole problem in it. Isn't that the problem in our nation? They turn way backward. They turn their ears from the truth unto fable. Isn't that the problem? That's the whole problem. You hear me say all the time, I blame all the problems in this country on the pulpit. When men began to withhold the Word of God, it started way back, didn't it? Jeremiah lamented over the false prophets of his day. He said, I weep. They've stolen thy word from the people. They're telling their dreams and not the word of God. And that's the problem. In verse 11, he says, yea, all Israel has transgressed thy law. All America has just corrupted and twisted and perverted God's word. Even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. And so, the curse is upon us. What curse? Well, if you read the books of Moses, all those curses pronounced. God pronounces blessings upon them that hear His word. But curses upon them that won't. And all those curses, remember He said, I'll bring on you the plagues of Egypt. Remember that? Though you claim to be My people, I'll bring upon you the plagues of Egypt. And that's exactly what God has done upon this so-called Christian nation. And plague after plague, Brother John, happens upon our country. And like the Egyptian, they don't perceive it as being the hand of God. God's people do. True Jews do, don't they? They see these plagues of hail and fire and so forth as being from the hand of God. And you're blessed if you do. All men don't. Even so-called Christians today, they won't acknowledge God's hand in any of these catastrophes with it. Because it doesn't gel with their concept of God being love, does it? But you know, He's the great and dreadful God. The living and true God. Well, Verse 12, and He hath confirmed His words which He spake against us. Brother Stan, it's probably more, well, there's equally as many verses of Scripture against people as there are promises for. You've heard my pastor say this statement by my pastor, Scriptures are full of warnings, full of warnings lest we presume, but also full of promises, lest we despair. But they're about equal, I'd say. You read the prophets and you hear mostly dire judgments, don't you? That's why people don't use the Old Testament anymore. It's the same God in it, Brother Henry. But we do, don't we? And we see our need, and Daniel is going to tell us our great need and what he prays for. This is why we need mercy. Verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. These don't need much comment, do they? Verse 14, therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon it. The Lord brought the evil? The Lord brought evil? That's what His book says, doesn't it, Brother Kelly? I create peace, I create evil. Didn't He say that? Isaiah 45:7. Job said, shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil? Yeah, that's God. That's the great and dreadful God. Read on. And the Lord our God is righteous. Now, He's too good to do wrong. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Yes, He will. Every time. The word just, God is just, means He's fair. He does exactly what's right. He's righteous in all His works which He doeth. We have not obeyed His voice. And now, O Lord our God, Thou hast brought Thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and You did this to get Thee renowned. You did it for Your name's sake. As at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. That's all Daniel seems to be able to say. How about you? When you go to pray, are you like me most of the time? About the only thing you can seem to say is, Lord, have mercy on me. Because like Paul, and apparently like Daniel, we say, what the evil I would not, that's what I do. And the good that I would, I know not. How to do good, I find not. I find the law in me. I delight in the law of the inward man. But how to perform it? Who shall deliver me? I was pointing, Brother Kelly and I went fishing yesterday. Sorry, Dylan. You weren't supposed to know that. Kelly snuck off and went fishing. He knows now. Anyway, we went fishing. And we were talking about Romans 7. How that we, you know, that's just the cry of our heart. And how the Lord in mercy wrote Romans 8. The very first line in Romans 8 is, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And so our great need, sinners that we are, is mercy. And God has mercy in Christ. In verse 15, "Now, O Lord, you've done this for your renown, for your name's sake." For your name's sake. That's why God did it. Verse 16, "O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sin and for the iniquities of our father, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us." Doesn't it sicken your heart how that, as I said, this nation calls itself a Christian nation, and all that it does, Nancy, is in the name of the God of the Bible, the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all that they do. But it were a laughingstock to the world. A laughingstock. And all that they do in the name of Jesus, and they all call themselves Christian, but they're as far from it. Oh, my. We're a reproach. It's a reproach. Lord, for your name's sake, do something. Verse 17. "Now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake." The Lord told us to take heed what you're reading, didn't it? Talks about the abomination of desolation down in verse 27. The Lord told us that in Matthew 24. Now, you know what that means. We've looked at it before. And it's been going on for a long time. Meaning that the so-called temple is desolate. Desolate. Ichabod is written over the door. The glory has departed. The so-called church in America, in the name of, is desolate of the gospel, of the truth, of the glory of God, isn't it? It's an abomination of desolation, isn't it? But God hath shined on this sanctuary, this little tabernacle. Bless God. He hath indeed. As God who caused the light to shine out of darkness, He hath shined in our hearts, hasn't it? To give the light of the knowledge, what is it? Of the glory of God. Where is it? In the face of Jesus Christ. God has answered Daniel's prayer. And we're that answer. You're that answer. Oh my. Thank the Lord. Verse 17. "Now therefore," verse 18, "O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eye." If God hears us, He'll have to incline His ear. He's high. But remember His ways. Remember His highways? "Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. I dwell in a high and a holy place, and with him is of a contrite heart." Though the Lord be high, yet He hath respect. That's His highway. If you weren't here last Wednesday, get the CD. We looked at God's highways and high thoughts. They're not like we thought. Not like we thought. God's highways and high thoughts are His infinite mercy, His infinite condescension to us. He's inclined His ear. "Behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. We do not present our supplication." You see, we're not pleading. No man, no child of God comes unto the Lord for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy. We plead someone else's righteousness, don't we? That's how we come. "Jesus, thy blood, thy righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress." We sing that all the time, don't we? Huh? "And thy mercies," God's mercy, "are in him." Verse 19, look at this. What a simple prayer, and what a profound one. "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. O defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name." If you want to memorize a prayer, this would be a good one. Oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, Lord, hearken and do for Thy name's sake, for Christ's sake. Oh, my God, Thy city, Thy church, Thy people are called by Thy name. We're called Christians. Christians. Lord, hear. Lord, forgive. And Lord, do this. That is, show mercy. And, now look at it. Here's the blessed answer. If I save enough time, you want to hear it? While I was speaking, it's kind of like the prodigal. He was rehearsing his prayer. Or he came to the Father, remember, and he started blurting out, Father, I've sinned. And while he was speaking, the Father says, while I was speaking, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly. Hurry. God said, hurry. He needs mercy quick. Hurry. The man Gabriel touched me about the time of the evening oblation. It says, while I was speaking, the man Gabriel. Now, this was an angel. But God calls him a man. But you and I, we talked about that, didn't we? This was an angel, but God called him a man. Well, preachers are just men. But God calls them angels. Which is it? Both. Both. But I couldn't help but think of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, being the angel, the man, yet the angel of God's covenant, the mercy, the messenger of the covenant, the angel of God's mercy who came swiftly. I come quickly, he said. And those who are swift to hear and those who are swift to cry will be swiftly heard and swiftly answered. It says he came quick. Came quick. I don't buy this, people say. I've been seeking the Lord for years. No, you haven't. Our Lord says, you seek me and search for me with all your heart, I'll be found. You'll find me. I'll answer it swiftly. That person who truly confesses and comes to God by Christ and cries out for mercy, God is ready to hear and ready to pardon. And He sends the gospel swiftly. Swiftly. Hurry. Tell Him the good news before He despairs. And here's what Gabriel said. He informed me and he talked with me. Verse 22. And he said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. O Daniel, I am come to give thee understanding. Does that sound familiar? 1 John 5:20 says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we might know Him that is true. I am come. Verse 23. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth. When you started to pray, the commandment was given. Before you got a word out of your mouth, he knows. David said, there's not a word in my tongue, you don't know it altogether. You know my thoughts afar off. And Daniel started to say, ah, and God said, go, Gabriel. Behold, he prayeth. I love that psalm. John and I love Psalm 71. Is it verse 3? Thou hast given commandment to save me. The commandment came. Go. Almighty love, arrest that man. Commandment came. And it says, look at this. Oh, you're going to like this. I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. You're greatly loved, Daniel. So I'm going to show you some things. What was it that Manoah's wife said to him? Huh? Remember, Manoah said, we're going to die. We've seen God. She said, no, we're not. She says, He wouldn't have showed us these things. Why does He show us this thing? We're greatly loved. Barbara, if you see these things, who God is, the great and dreadful God, your need of mercy, Christ, your salvation in Christ, you're going to see this in a minute more clearly. You're greatly loved. Be loved. For whom He did foreknow. Love before He did predestinate. To do what? To call. by this gospel. Verse 23, you're greatly loved. Therefore, understand the matter. Those who are greatly loved by God will greatly understand. And they will see something, a vision. What is it? What is it? What did Daniel see? Now, I am a teacher of sorts, okay? I'm supposed to be apt to teach. Pastor, teacher. And whenever I ask you a question, see, my exams are very easy. Very easy. They generally require a one-word answer, okay? All right? What was the vision that Daniel saw? Christ. Daniel saw Christ. Chapter 10 is a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never read it, well, we've preached on it. But read it again. But look at this. In verse 24, he says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression. He's talking about somebody coming to finish the transgression. That's what he's talking about. Somebody's coming, Daniel, to finish the transgression. Who might that be? Well, he said it on the cross. It's finished. And look at this. And to make an end of sins, he put them away by the sacrifice of himself. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. Yes, God was in Christ doing what? Reconciling the world unto himself. And to bring in everlasting righteousness. The first Adam, we fell in his temporary righteousness, didn't we? But the second Adam, he has an eternal one that we wear. Everlasting. And to seal up the vision and the prophecy, Christ fulfilled the law. He was that prophet of whom Moses speak, and now there's no more needs to be written. Right? He's the completion of the prophecy. And to anoint, to set up, to exalt the most holy. Who's that? Christ. Christ. So know therefore, and he tells the time of it. And it goes on to say he'll be cut off in verse 26, and not for himself, but for the people. And down in verse 27, he says that then there will become the abomination of desolation. So know that, he said in verse 25, he said, know therefore and understand that Messiah the Prince is coming. And we know, and we understand that he came. And he's given us an understanding. And so, I ask you, how about you? Do you seek him? Set your face, seek the Lord's face and sue for mercy, need mercy. If you call upon him in spirit and truth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must be greatly beloved. And if you see Christ clearly as the fulfillment of that covenant, and all the blessings of God, forgiveness, mercy, forgiveness, pardon, peace, reconciliation, righteousness, eternal glory, and is in Christ, you're like Daniel. You're like Daniel. Oh my. Okay, stand with me.